Stevie B and I'm an alcoholic.
Yes.
Proud member of the West Side Men's Group.
Nice.
And yes, I'm really in the West Side Men's Group.
Nice.
And a lot of people get myself, but other than the beard, a lot of people think that James and I look exactly alike, so just want to say we are not twins, okay? So don't keep asking me that. We do have the same sponsor, but we know we are not twins. James, where am I speaking this Sunday night?
A Piro
Point Hospital, which is like commercial federal highway area, 8 p.m. So if you want to come up and support James' group that he takes there every Sunday night as a service commitment, we're going to be there 8 p.m. Well, I'd like to welcome the newcomers tonight, and especially Eric's brother and all the other people that picked up tonight. What an amazing night to pick up medallions.
Amen.
What an amazing night to come in and pick up a white chip. And Wendy gave out the white chips. I had a stinky guy named Harry that gave out my white chip. So you guys are very blessed. You guys are off the hook. And a great speaker that we just heard about, Paulie, that's going to be here for 2 weeks from now. I don't know if he coined the phrase, but he certainly has been saying the phrase. And he said to me and countless others that we are off the hook. And that's really the truth. And what he means by that, or what I mean by that, is this. You're already here. Even if you used today, in this meeting, you're already here. You don't have to come in. You're already here. You're already part of the solution. And even if you want to use, again, you never have to. Something that I found out over the recent years is that a feeling is not an action. And just because I feel like I want to get high, or just like I feel like I want to do something, that doesn't make it that I have to do it. What you're going to learn through these 12 steps is God gives us enough strength to have enough pause, so that we don't have to follow through on a feeling. Now, something that I've been saying over the last 12 weeks is that all action is born in thought. All action is born in thought. But that doesn't mean that all thoughts need to be born into action. Listen to what I'm saying. If you have a feeling that comes over you tonight, at 13 years, at whatever amount of years that you have, at 13 days, at 13 hours, that you want to go out and get loaded tonight, you don't have to follow through on that. And the way that we do it in this program is we do it one day at a time. And a lot of us that are successful, even in the beginning, we have this thing where we call thinking it through. And I told this story over the last 11 weeks, but this is next week is my last week here. And for those that want to sing the song, this is it. The final countdown. Okay, that's... You can sing. I was in the house and I had just relapsed. And my parents came down from New York and my wife was working in the store with my parents and I had told them that I was in a meeting down in Miami with Maurice Gibb, who's since passed away sober with many years of sobriety. And I said I was in a meeting at Little River Club with Maurice Gibb. And I was in the house getting high. And my parents came home and my wife came home. And that's like the most dreaded, tired sound in the world. Because for me, I was in the house and I was drinking and I was doing other things. And every time I heard cars, I would run to the window. And then I would run back. And then I would run again to the window, and I would run back. And so after 722 run over to the windows and running back, I figured they're not coming home anytime soon. And I got to some real drinking. And the next time I ran over, they were in the driveway. Now, I don't know if that ever happened to you, where your intense fear, everything crushes down, you know you can't get sober in 60 seconds, it's not going to happen. You know, you laugh, but some people try to do that. They come to meetings loaded. And the same way that I wasn't able to pull it off in front of my parents, you can't pull it off in here. So when you're falling asleep and you're scratching and you're in your chair and you're nodding, we know. Okay, just so you understand, we know. It's not that we think that you're just tired. We get it. But the only requirement for you guys to be here, anyone that's still getting high, is just a desire. So we're not judging. Because as Wendy and my parents know, and my wife, I came to these meetings high. And falling asleep and slurring my words. And you guys still welcome me back. And my dad took me to another meeting. It's still, you know, after having 7 years, as our lovely speaker spoke about tonight, and I thought that I didn't have a problem with fine wine. Now, I never drank fine wine before. Fine wine is wine that you actually has a cork. That's what I would call fine wine. What I mean by that is I've never really had a wine that wasn't in a cap. So you actually need utensils to open up the bottle. And I thought to myself, I could be a fine wine connoisseur, that's right. Because when I came into the program when I was 22 years old, very similar to your story, I came in through Narcotics Anonymous, and I was an addict full through and through. But I found my hope, my strength, and my love in Alcoholics Anonymous, but I never felt that I was an alcoholic. I knew I was a drug addict, and in Alcoholics Anonymous, respect for the program, I call myself an alcoholic. But I never really believed I was an alcoholic. I always believed that I was a drug addict who liked Alcoholics Anonymous, very similar to what Daniel said. I was a drug addict that liked AA. And I loved the big book. I loved the text of the big book. I loved the God of the big book. I love everything about AA, except I wasn't an alcoholic. And that's a little bit peculiar. That's like, you know, going into a professional bowling league, but you know, you're a baseball player. And every time they come up to you, say, no, you know, I'm going to pass. But I kept saying for 7 years I was an alcoholic. And I thought maybe after a couple of years, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, that I would actually feel like I was an alcoholic, but I never did. And in New Orleans, where William is right now, we were on our honeymoon at Emeril Lagasse's restaurant, and I looked over and they were pouring some fine wine into a decanter and they were letting it breathe. And at that moment, all action is born in thought, and I thought that I could drink fine wine, and 2 years later I did. And, I mean, it wasn't fine wine, but it could have been fine wine. I was shooting for fine wine. It still ended up one of the wines with the cap on it. And then that wine brought me to other alcohols, and I became, and this is what I wanted you guys to hear, anybody that might be here for the first time, or anybody that's new, or any of the young people that think that we don't get what, let me tell you something, what happened to me. All I ever wanted to do was not smoke the drugs that I came in here with, and what I became was a big book alcoholic. I loved to drink, and I was crippled and I was crushed, and brought me into Alcoholics Anonymous. And now when I say I'm Steve, I'm an alcoholic, although sometimes I forget, and like tonight we were at a restaurant for my grandfather for his 89th birthday, and people were drinking wine. My family didn't see it. I saw it from across the room, from 7 tables away. They were looking at their crab and different items. My wife was eating her shrimp. And my one eye was looking 7 tables away. And I saw that fine wine. And I saw that it wasn't with a cap. And for just a split second, I'm thinking, Rhonda, you know what? It's a possibility. But thank God I'm steeped in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And thank God I have a God today. And I want to read this to you. There's so much that has to be covered in the 11th step. It's not going to happen tonight. But we're going to move at a fevered pitch. But I want anyone to know that's here for the first time or that's new, like some of the ladies that I met tonight that are new, everything I'm speaking about tonight is in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And then the other book that it's in is in the 12 and 12. The 12 and 12. Now, something that I found out today is that the 11th step in the 12 by 12 is absolutely inspired and amazing. If you don't have the 12 and 12, get a 12 and 12. If you want to have a relationship with God, and I mean at any level, the 12 and 12, the 11th step, is going to explain it in such words that it's truly inspiring. I always have this running debate with my friend Stevie D, and I always say that the big book was inspired, and the 12 and 12 is awesome. But I got to tell you, this 11th step is inspired. So if you want to have a closer personal relationship with God, get yourself a 12 and 12. Don't steal it. It doesn't work that way. If you want to you need to buy it. So get the 12 and 12, step 11. In the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, on page 25, the great fact is just this and nothing else. that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude towards life, toward our fellows, and towards God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us what we could not do for ourselves. Bill W. and Dr. Bob wrote this with 4 years of sobriety, or less. Between 1935 and 1939, with less than 4 years of sobriety, they wrote that line. They didn't have 15 years of sobriety. They didn't have 50 years of sobriety. They were convinced that their Creator created inside them a profound spiritual and psychic change. And they weren't talking about what I heard 2 weeks ago at a meeting in the morning. A guy with 25 years came in. He said that he has found a God of his understanding. There, and he was teaching on the 11th step. There's nowhere in the 11th step a God of your understanding. The 11th step says God as we understood him. The founding fathers, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and the 12 and 12, they're all in aligned in one thing. You get to find the God as you understand him. Now, it doesn't have to be the same concept of God as me, but they truly believed in God as we understand him. Now, somehow during the last 70 years, it gets watered down to a small capital G, God of your understanding. But that's nowhere where it says it doesn't say it in the steps, and it doesn't say it in this step, and it doesn't say it in the big book, and it doesn't say it in the 12 and so. They were talking about God. And how do I know that? Listen to this. Prayer and meditation are a principal means of conscious contact with God. That's the way they started off. They don't mince around the books. And this is 15 years later after they wrote the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So in 1935 to 1939, they published it in 1939, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous comes out. A lot of people get sober. A lot of people get saved. A lot of great things are going on. People give their life to God. Other people don't give their life to God. But the program doesn't get watered down. People are saying, listen, they come to meetings and they say this: I believe in God, or I don't believe in God, or I'm searching for God. It's not a prerequisite that you need to believe in God. But what is a prerequisite is that, and it says it here, this is not my words, you at least need to have open-mindedness if you want to move to the next level. Prayer and meditation are a principal means of conscious contact with God. Those of us, you're going to love this. This is in the 12 and 12. Never read this before out loud. Those of us who have come to make regular use of prayer would no more do without it than we would refuse air, food, or sunshine. And for the same reason, when we refuse air, light, food, or sunshine, the body suffers. And when we turn away from prayer and meditation, we likewise deprive our mind, our emotions, and our intuitions of vitally needed support. Why do we pray? Why do we meditate? Because it makes us feel at a place of peace like nothing else did. Or for some of us, like drinking and drugging that we wanted to shoot for. I don't know if you've ever had a place of perfect peace when you were drinking. I remember times when I had one or two of something and that peace comes over you. Or at the end of the day when you took that one shot, and as that one shot went down your throat, you felt at least an instant sigh of release, an instant relief. All day you were thinking about taking a drink, all day you were thinking about taking a drink, and then you took that drink, and boom, you felt good. Well, the thing that happens with prayer and meditation is you don't need to overdose in it. It makes you feel good, you feel centered, you don't feel off balance, and you want to continue it. And you want to go back to that source, and you want to go back to that power. And what the 11th step talks about, seeking through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact, is no matter what level you're at, you can still see God exactly where you're at. You know, last week I spoke about that some people view me as religious. And I'm not religious. What I am is I'm just very, very serious about my relationship with God, because as Spike, my wife that's sitting here, my parents, and other people that saw me out there knows that I was religious about going to the drug dealers and to the bar. I was religious, which means is I got up in the morning and I got on my knees and I scrambled around for money to go get high. And during the day, I scrambled around to go for ways and means to get more. And at night, I begged the dealer and I begged the bartender to front me and give me credit. And I went to them like they were my higher power, and I said, please give me credit here. And when I ran out of money at those places, I said, will you please believe me that I'll be back to pay you tomorrow if you could just give me my drink right now. And I begged and I pleaded the drug dealers, and I begged and I pleaded the bartenders to have mercy on me. And now you want me to come into the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and not beg God and not have the same volition that I had for wanting to drink because it's not popular in Alcoholics Anonymous? I'm not going to do it. I come in Alcoholics Anonymous and I beg God in the morning. I get down on my knees and I say, please give me the gift of sobriety. And please keep me from hurting myself and others. And please keep me away from things that are going to separate me from you. And not because I want to be some religious, pious guy and I want to be perfect. It has nothing to do with that. The reason that I don't go around sinning all over the place is because every time I do it, it separates me from the power of God. And I want to make sure I have that power of God in me so that when trials and tribulations come, and believe me, they will come. The big book speaks about not when they come, not if they come. The big book says when they come. When you face indecision, when you face hardships, you pause. It doesn't say if. There's no if inside the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It says when you're going to face that. And we're walking around here with blinders on, acting like it's all going to be hunky-dory. That money's going to rain down, that all the AA streets are paved in gold. And it's not true. People are going to 13-step in here. They're going to sell you a bad bill of goods. People are going to act like they want to help you to get sober and really want to do is get money out of your purse. They want to do all that kind of stuff. And then the rest of the people are as great as they seem. But you will have to have the gift of discernment to be able to withstand, like our speakers just spoke tonight, after having all these years and coming in with Paulie, and she should be picking up 31 years, and by the grace of God, she's picking up 13 years, to know when you've made a mistake and to crawl back here humbly on your knees before God and before your friends and say, listen, I made a mistake. I truly am an alcoholic. I can't run my own life. Will you please help me get back? You see, if you're in here, brothers and sisters, to save your face and not your tush, then this is going to become a revolving door for you. Do you know how rare it is? Is it Luba?
Luba.
Luba. Luba. Do you know how rare it is for a person like Luba to have that much time to go out and then come back and pick up 13 years? Do you know how rare it is for a person like myself that came in here when I was 25? And then go out and then be out for 2.5 years and then get 6 felonies and now to have 9 years? Do you know how rare that is? Let me tell you how rare it is. There's a lot of young people in here, so I'm sure that you know Friday Night Mainliners group. When I was your age, that man right over there took me to Mainliners at a place called Club Soda. This is where us, with our tight shirts and our Cavarici jeans and our gel, before iPods and before Facebook, this is where we used to hang out. That was our social network. It was a pool table, Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and your best jeans and some hair gel. And that's what we used to do on Friday nights. And there was a guy over there, and he was the founder or one of the founders of this group here on Friday nights, Gary. And he was a muscle guy like James. And I used to take his inventory because all the girls liked him. And he was tall and skinny, had big arms. Triple threat. I hated the guy. And plus he had like 10 years and I had like 10 months. I'm like, what does that guy got that I don't have? Everything? Nine and a half years ago, I'm sitting at that table where Steve and Nina and my parents are. I'm sitting there with Paulie. Just crawled back here on my belly for the fifth time. I got 2 months. Still burping up vodka. That's right, vodka takes a long time to get out of your pores. I'm sitting there with Paulie and Gary walks in. Gary had 20-something years. He looks over at Paul, and Paul looks over at Gary, great to see you. And people in the meeting are sharing. And Gary, who helped found that meeting, wasn't able to humble himself that night because he was one of the founders. And he only had a day of sobriety, a day clean, and 2 weeks later he was dead. So if you want to know how hard it is to come back and eat humble pie on your belly when all your other friends are picking up 10 years and 20 years and 30 years, and they're picking up cakes, and your medallion has colors on it, and their medallion has has beautiful bronze and yours is blue, white, pink, and red and all these different colors that they have in all these meetings now? Let me tell you something. It takes a complete act of serenity, of surrender and humility. And the people that stay around in this program, or at least the people that you want to be around in this program, have something that this rare thing, and I want to tell you what it is. It's called humility. This rare quality that we find in Alcoholics Anonymous that we overlook sometimes is called humility. You have an old timer in your group that doesn't share a lot? Let me tell you something. It's very well possible. It's not that they don't have anything to say. It's probably because they are suffering from something called humility. And they don't need to direct the group all the time. That's not me. I haven't gotten there yet. But I know that it's a trait that I will need to have for staying around longevity. So I see them getting up to do cake. So I'm going to kick this up into another gear. I want you to hear this. In the 11th step and the 12 and 12, they have this amazing prayer called the St. Francis Prayer. Now, just in case you think that the program of Alcoholics Anonymous is actually anti-religious, I want to tell you something. It can't be farther from the truth. What it is that AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or religion, which means this. As AA, we don't tell you which religion to join. But if you don't think that AA is pushed, that when they were a religious body, you just don't know what's in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the 12 and 12. Believe me, AA was and is a religious body, just not any one particular religion. And the reason I know that is this. Well, it says religion all over the entire big book. But the great thing about it is you get to pick your own. What I don't want you to do is think that you can pick a little g god of your own concept, because there's already a god in place. And if you go out there and create a god like the doorknob in the grass, and there's God who's actually the God, and he's actually the creator, and you're praying to grass, and then you come out and all of a sudden one day the water didn't water the grass, and you come out there and your God is dead. Or worse, my two dogs just pooped all over your God. And then someone in your family gets cancer, and then you're praying, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, nature and spirit of the universe, please pour rain down on the hospital. There's already a God in place. He's already created AA. Where you're at in your relationship to him or her, or wherever you want to call God, is up to you. But you don't need to recreate God. He's already here. And he already believes in you. Wherever you're at in your relationship to him, that's your personal journey. But don't rewrite the 11th step. It's not sought in prayer and meditation to improve a conscious contact with a God of your understanding. Next time someone says a God of your understanding in the program, ask them, where does it say a God of your understanding in the steps? Because it doesn't. Now listen to this. 15 years later, people are getting sober all over Alcoholics Anonymous. Now people are leaving in Alcoholics Anonymous, and Bill's best friend dies not sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. They write the 12 and 12 because they need to do more explanation. And believe me, people are leaving because it's too religious. If you don't think that the early AA was religious, it was. Now, it just wasn't Christian, but it was religious. And they were pushing God and they were pushing prayer. And you know how people get offended because I pray before the meeting tonight and at other meetings that they asked me to share at? They were doing that in AA. It wasn't that it started off with the Serenity Prayer. When people were starting meetings, it was a prayer of your choice. Now, what happened was, because Richard might have a different prayer than mine, and Larry might have a different prayer than mine, they decided to come up with one prayer, and that's fine. But believe me, there was meetings all over Ohio where people were still praying the prayer. And there's places in New York right now that if you try to do the Lord's Prayer at the end of the meeting, whoo! There's places in New York right now that if you say too much about God, whoo! If you try to do the Lord's Prayer in an AA meeting in New York, now I don't know if they ask you to leave, but it's uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? It's uncomfortable. So if you don't understand how precious we have it down here in South Florida, Tony will tell you. We have precious AA in South Florida. Precious. So if you, listen, guys that are coming from the treatment centers, if you hate AA here, just know you hate AA. It doesn't get any better than this. This is as good as it gets. This is the best AA that I've ever seen. And I sobered up in Minneapolis, which is the land of 10,000 treatment centers. And they don't even have what we have down here. Listen to this in the 11th step. Bill W. says this. Well, we might start like this. First, let's look at a really good prayer. Just listen up. Just 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes, then you can eat all your cake. First, let's look at a really good prayer. We won't have far to seek the great men and women of all religions. Listen to this. The great men and women of all religions. You see how they believe in religion, but they're not telling you which religion to believe in? That's what I love about it. The great men and women of all religions have left us a wonderful supply. Here, let us consider one that is a classic. My friends, can I say what you guys have on your front lawn? No, I won't say that. It's another. My friend Steve and Nina, they have a mezuzah because they're Jewish on, and they have, I think it's Moses on your lawn? Yeah. They have Moses, they have a mezuzah on the door, and they have St. Francis. They got all their bases covered when you go to their house. Its author was a man who for several hundred years now has been rated as a saint. He won't be biased or scared. We won't be biased or scared off by that fact. Because although he was not an alcoholic, he did, like us, go through the emotional ringer. And as he came out on the other side of that painful experience, this prayer was his expression of what he could see, feel, and wish to become like. Next time you're having a problem at work, next time you're having a problem at the halfway house, next time you're having a problem with your wife or your girlfriend or your boss or your friend, listen to this prayer. Lord, make me a channel of your peace. That where there is hatred, that I may bring love. That where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. That where there is discord, I may bring harmony. That where there is error, I may bring truth. That where there is doubt, I may bring faith. That where there is despair, I may bring hope. That where there are shadows, I may bring light. That where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted. To understand than to be understood. To love rather than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds. It is by forgiving that we spoke about last week in the 10th step. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by forgiving that one is forgiving. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. Amen. You know, a couple steps series ago, my friend Eric that's inside here, his sponsor is Big Book George. And he's just a great servant of our meeting. We call him the texter. And he texts everybody when meetings are going on. And he came up with this idea to put speakers on a website where people can go and get the website. And I made an announcement what that website was. And then I got chastised for it 2 or 3 weeks ago at the meeting. So I'm not going to tell you. If you want to know, you'll come see me after the meeting. But he made this website on his own dime. He built the website, pays for the website, and has it on his own dime. And some people weren't very happy about that he did that because they told him that we're supposed to be attraction rather than promotion. And he did it anyway. And somehow, how God works these things, my steps got on there when the 12-step group, when you guys asked me to do this 2 years ago, my steps got on there. And then somehow a Narcotics Anonymous website cloned it and put it on a Narcotics Anonymous website. And then this guy, Kevin, just be with me for 5 more minutes. Because in 2 weeks from now, I'm gone. This guy, Kevin, in Virginia, that's dying in his bed of alcoholism, but doesn't want to come to AA because he's a Narcotics Anonymous guy. And he's dying in his bed of alcoholism, and he's got tubes running out of himself in George Washington University Hospital. Says to his daughter, can you bring my laptop here because I need a Narcotics Anonymous step series speaker. And as God does what God does, she brings him the laptop and they get me on there. And he's playing the tapes. And as how many people in here are annoyed because when we say West Side Men's Group, you don't have to raise your hand. But people are annoyed because when we say West Side Men's Group and they say nice, people get annoyed. Well, I'm going to tell you something that saved this man's life. And what Eric did by making the website save this man's life and by me taping the tapes, and it may seem like ego saved this guy's life because this is what happened. Looking for a Narcotics Anonymous website, he played my tape. And all he heard was, my name is Stevie B and I'm an alcoholic. And then you guys said, nice. And somehow in his drunken stupor in that bed, he heard when they said in Hawaii, right on. And somehow he correlated it in his alcoholic mind that this was like a great group. And he said to his daughter, if I could get down to South Florida and meet this Stevie B and meet this West Side Men's Group, maybe I could get sober. And she gets him together and she gets him a plane ticket and flies him down here to Fort Lauderdale. And he sends me an email, because my email's on the tapes because of what Eric does, he put my email. And he sends me an email. My name is Kevin K. I'm in Virginia and I'm going to come down and visit you and I want to get sober. And I know you guys have the answer for me at the West Side Men's Group because of Right On, and I want this whole thing and I've been listening to your tapes and I'm hanging on by a thread, and I just know that if I get down there, I can get sober. He gets off the plane and he moves into Cleveland House, what happens to be around the corner from my house. I'm not even here in the country. I'm away with my parents on vacation with my wife. And he moves into the Cleveland House and somehow he takes a taxi or gets a ride all the way out to the West Side Men's Group. And during while I'm on vacation, he writes me another letter. I'm at the West Side Men's Group and I just met Spike and DJ. Because I'm always talking about Spike from the meetings because I've known him for 17 years from the podium. And somehow during that time, he gets sober. And right now, tonight in Virginia, he's got over a year of sobriety, and he started a big book meeting and he starts meetings over there, and he started meetings that talk only about God. You see, if you think that you know what God has planned for you, then if you want to keep God in a little box, and you want to act like you're not religious, and you know everything that's best for you, guess what? You get to have that. But the God that I follow, he's the God of possibilities. He takes a moron like me and people in our home group will tell you, nobody wanted to hear me 5 years ago. Nobody. And God gave me a vision in my heart that said, Steve, I want you to go out and I want you to preach about what's going on in your life and that a loser like you could get sober, anyone could get sober. And I started speaking everywhere. And then Jimmy called me a couple years ago and he said, listen, we're thinking about maybe having you come speak at the 12-step house. And I said, Jimmy, I'm not ready. I was fearful. I was scared. My sponsor, Russell, was doing the steps at that time. There's no way I could follow Russell. I'm going to say, it's going to look like a chimpanzee following, like, you know, the greatest speaker in the world. And I said, Jimmy, I'm sorry, I'm not ready. And I went in, I told my wife, and I said, sweetheart, can you imagine? Jimmy said to me, would you like to do the steps at the 12-step house? And she said, absolutely. I was only sober like 6 years at the time. I'm like, there's no way. I never did. It's impossible. And she said to me, now, no, she goes like this to me. It is impossible with your skill set, but with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. She knew I wasn't going to be able to carry this and to do all these things, but she knew that God could and would if he were sought, right? Amen?
Amen.
So God could and would if he were sought. So I came in and I said, listen, okay, if you guys will have me and you'll put up with me. And that night, Steve says, was probably the best. Of all the steps I've ever done, that night he says were the best because they thought I was going to be so bad. Their expectations were so low that because I didn't fall over and kill myself, they gave me a standing ovation. And you know what? If he can take a crack addict alcoholic that crawled in here on his belly that thought he was a fine wine drinker and show himself to a guy like me, then he can do it for any of us. And let me just finish up by saying this. The last thing it says in this step. So beautiful. On page 86 and 87 and 88. I know you heard of those steps. Yes, we're almost done. 86, 87, and 88. As we go through the day, we pause. When agitated or doubtful, we ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves that we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, Thy will be done. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in this simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There's action and more action. Faith without works is dead. And next week, we're going to talk about step 12.
Back.
Yes, if I'm here.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
What night?
Next Tuesday.
Great. I'm going to
edit
them.
Okay, great.
And I got the website.
Okay, rock it.
You got to see Jimmy.
Thanks so much for letting me sit
back. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you.